There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing good. It's been a tough couple weeks, right? I mean, this has been 2021. They said it was going to be a lot better. It sure hasn't been, but we're making the most of it.
For yes. Sure. And we've had a lot of awesome guests the last couple weeks. So yeah. If you have not tuned into some of those last episodes, make sure you do that. We had some wholesalers. We had a investor in Australia. And so, check out that.
It was awesome. I mean, we've had some great people, and that is a positive to this year. We've
yes.
had some great people, and they've, I thought, brought a lot of value.
Tons of value to our audience. So that's great for our listeners. So, and today you got us, we are almost hitting 50 episodes right now. We're at 47. And today we're going to be talking about unexpected events and having a prepared team. So as a lot of you know, we had a Arctic freeze here a couple weeks ago here in Texas. And so our team had to quickly adapt to that and be prepared for that. So Sean, can you kind of give us a little bit of, background on that and how that all occurred and what we did to get prepared?
Sure. So, I mean, we thought this would just, we're looking for, through this podcast, we always try to share with you guys what we're going through and experiences we're having to deal with, and also show you that, nothing's perfect and that we go through struggles just like everybody else. So we wanted to, help you guys understand how we go through unexpected events. And even though we had prepared for cold weather mm-hmm. and got our team ready, we had communicated with residents, and there was a lot of things that nobody could have
predicted. Yeah, absolutely. Predicted. So. Yeah, I think that's what you just said there. I think, we always tend to, go through the wins, what we did perfectly, but we never go through really our failures, not a lot of people do. And so, we failed, but I mean, there is definitely things that we could improve on in our correct. Systems that we could improve on. And so I think it's important for others to know that, we're not perfect and we learn from this every time.
Yeah, I agree. And so, just a background, Texas knew we were going to have very cold, frigid temperatures, mm-hmm. And that's very uncommon, especially for Houston. So we're going to have several days below 30 degrees, snow, which we had, ice, which we had.
Snow was great for about a day or so.
Yeah, the kids loved it.
The kids loved it. They were out there at 5 in the morning, making snow angels, but that lasted.
It got old very quick. It was really, really cold. And what ended up happening was, for whatever reason, that I don't think they still have all the answers, they started having to do rollover. They're supposed to do rollover mm-hmm. Power outages where they were going to turn off certain grids at certain times. And anyway, it went where some people went, 3-4 days with no power mm-hmm. And, frigid temperatures. And then that caused massive pipes to freeze and houses, because we're not built for that mm-hmm. kind of cold weather. So, a lot of the older homes and a lot of the construction, we're not made to stand, several days of cold under freezing
temperatures. Yeah, it was the last time it was that cold, they said it was like in the 80s or something. So
63 years. Yeah, 63 years ago or something, it had been that cold. So, and then they, on top of that, the water companies all had issues. Mm-hmm. Like they had frozen pipes, and since there was no power, they lost water. And then the water was, contaminated. They were telling everybody to boil their water. And then several people lost water for, mm-hmm. I know we had employees that lost water and electric for 3-4 days. But what the big issue or the big consequence or what happened afterwards was we had over 350 homes with busted pipes.
Yeah.
water throughout the houses and sheetrock falling. And so it was a mess, but, you know, and so we kind of want to share some of the things that we learned from that and how we prepared for it, how we adjusted, and some takeaways. So, you know, and so to give you a more background on all of this is, you know, the roads were so bad that nobody could drive. So then everybody had to work remotely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we are a property management company. So people are expecting us to service their house and they're having issues in their house.
Right. Well, and we had employees that didn't have power and, you know, cell phone outages. I mean, so we couldn't even get a hold of some of our employees. Yeah. So that was an issue in itself. So, I mean, you know, we needed them here, but they couldn't work.
Correct.
So and one of the things,
work from home.
Right. And so what really saved us, and we'll, maybe we'll get into this a little bit later, but we have remote team members in the Philippines and in Mexico. And so without them, we would have not been able to function at all. And so they were our saving grace throughout this because they communicated with our owners. They communicated with our tenants, you know, when they needed us.
Yeah, they're huge. And we've praised them and thanked them all for all that they've done because they carried the team.
Right.
So nobody here locally could do anything. And so they answered all the questions. They took in all the emails and all the owners that were concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, they were the ones that to help and carry us through that. So.
Absolutely. So why don't we go into, you know, if you're a property owner or investor, how can you, prepare for these events? You know, maybe some points that...
Sure. Yeah. So we started off with like vacant properties or we just, you're right. Just properties in general.
Yeah. Right? Just properties in general. I mean,
and so we put together a couple of bullet points that we thought were key. So, you know, we work with a lot of out of state investors. And so if you're one of those that are considering investing out of state, then, you know, study your area that you're purchasing in. Get with the local team there and start, have them teach you and educate you on the market because every market's different. I mean,
yes,
California has wildfires or earthquakes.
We have hurricanes.
Yeah, we have hurricanes and
freezing now freezes.
You know, the Northeast gets really cold.
For sure.
You know, the East Coast has hurricanes or issues as well, and Florida does as well. And so, you know, you got to know those areas. What can happen. And, you know, a lot of those people know. So it's like Houston. I get this question constantly when I talk to investors, you know, they're looking to purchase our turnkey properties. They're always wondering like, you know, because every time we have a hurricane or a major flooding event, you know, the news shows like
it's always
like,
worse than
really but
is.
It looks like the whole city is underwater.
Right.
And they make it look that way, but on national news. But really, if you know certain parts of town, and yes, Harvey impacted a lot of us.
Yes.
I'm not going to make light of it, but you know, you can look at, there's certain parts of towns that didn't have any issues.
Like, right.
You know, where we lived didn't have any issues at all. But, and then there's certain parts of town that every time there's a major rainstorm, it floods, you know? And so you got to know the parts of town. You got to know what the flood zones are. You got to know, you know, how the city is made up and what areas tend to flood more than others.
Yeah, so that's a great point there. So, like, working with the local experts. So if it's your real estate agent, and vet several of them, you know, to make sure they understand the market. Or, like, a property management company, they are key. They know the area. If they, you know, like, we manage, you know, all over the city of Houston, so we know the areas really well. So, you know, property manager can be very helpful in that. As well as, you know, turnkey providers, they also know the area. So definitely find some experts in the local market and really vet that. And especially if you're an out-of-state investor, you know, you really want to study the market to make sure you know what you're purchasing in.
Correct. And then get proper insurance. So
that's,
you know, work
huge.
With an agent. Yeah, because we get that all the time. Is like, you can find cheaper insurance alternatives, you know, but like our agent that we send all our clients to, he's always going to make sure that they're properly covered. Like, you know, because there's cheaper insurances that won't cover named storms.
Well, that's the thing too, is like you get investors that, you know, I have my buddy here that does our insurance in their local market. Mm-hmm. Well, your market there is not the same as maybe Houston where they have hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to have, you know, the same coverage.
Correct. So you got to work with somebody that's local or knows the market and knows what to watch out for. So, and just be covered. So if you are buying in a floodplain or you just want to be concerned about it and over-insure. You can mm-hmm. get flood insurance in certain areas, so make sure you have flood insurance. Make sure if California gets hurt, yeah. covers hurricane. And
you might not even want to be in a flood, floodplain. I mean, I know that when we stopped buying in flood zones years ago, because it just, our return on investment is lower because we have to get additional coverage, all of that. So, that's just our personal preference. It might not be yours, but it's something to consider.
Absolutely. Communicate with your residents and if you are running a property management company, with your owners during these events.
Yes, so, that's crucial.
During a major event, whether it be a freeze or a hurricane or anything like that, is communication is going to be your key.
Absolutely. And it starts, we start communicating with our residents and our owners weeks before if we know, that the storm is coming and how to prepare for it. And even in your welcome packets with your residents, that's crucial too, is have that information, handy, procedures on what they can do prior to a storm so they're prepared for it. And then send it to them again, when the storm happens. You want to try to get them prepared as much as possible.
Correct. So yeah, the, what do we call it? The storm preparation guide and storm procedure guide. And we send that out and we, prepared that in documents. So it shows them like where to shut off the water to their home, how to, what proper guidelines they should take during a freezing event or a hurricane, or if you lose power, if a tree falls, on your home, what to do. All these crazy events.
But, and send them YouTube videos on how to shut. And that's the biggest thing too, is with tenants, like they don't necessarily know how to shut off their water. And that's the big question that we get. And so we're always prepared with our videos to say, okay, these are where you will find the main shutoff. This is where you find the valves to shut off. So really educate your tenants, send them videos to make sure that they're prepared. Because you might not, the roads were bad. We couldn't get anybody to go shut off the water for them if we, had to.
Correct. And if you run a property management company, you got to have procedures on how, you got to have your own preparation guide and storm for your employees.
Oh, so absolutely.
Who's going to handle what, who's going to communicate what, what's going to happen if those people aren't available. Mm-hmm. Like we had, majority of our local staff was unable to work from home and was unable to communicate with people. So what are you going to do in those cases? So have all those, way in advance and have it already ready so that when something does come up, you're prepared. But we, for this event, we started a week in advance communicating. And where we think if we could have improved on anything, we were communicating the traditional cold weather communication, meaning open your cabinet doors, leave your temperature, set at a certain thing, drip your faucets,
wrap your pipes,
make sure your pipes are wrapped. We had no idea that people were going to go
several days without power or water.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then, since there was no, and it stayed cold for those 3 to 4 days under freezing. So, pipes interior that normally the heat would have kept the pipes warm enough, they wouldn't have froze, and so that was the big, and so the communication that we're now looking back at this and what could we have done better, that we should have the earlier on just started communicating, turn off, if you lose power or if you're concerned, shut off your water, drain your water out of your lines.
Absolutely. And you have, your tenants will maybe not want to stay in town well during this freeze. Maybe they're going to go, with family just in case, especially during a hurricane. And so you want to prepare them as well. Like if you're leaving, you got to make sure that your water is turned off.
Or you're going to be.
Or you let us know that way we can monitor it. Because that's another thing too. They leave, and they come back, water turns back on. Electric turns back on and you have a disaster.
Yeah. And that's what happened was so many people, everybody was unprepared for going that long without water. And so some people started leaving to go to places that it was weird how some parts got power. And so I don't know how they decided that, but, and how they regulated that and all that. Cause like the news media kept showing downtown. There's hardly anybody downtown, but downtown was fully lit up the entire time.
And we actually had power the entire, I think we lost power for like two hours, but I think it's because we live directly behind a power plant. So maybe that's the key. I don't know.
I mean, our office never lost power, but we're right next door a fire station. And so a major one, a big one. And so I think they didn't, I don't know how they, regulated that. But I mean, there's a funny story to that. So we lost, we lost power for 2 hours, right? And so Joni and I were like, you know, oh crap, we should have prepared more for this, because we had employees that are already gone like 2 days without power. And we're like, man, we're the next rollover, so we're probably gonna go a couple of days with no power. And so we're like, how? And it was, there was some good parts to it, because, like, you know, our kids, we all got around the fireplace, we shared stories, and, you know, because we didn't have no phones, no nothing, so it was like
camping in our living room.
And it was good, and the kids had fun with it, and we just talked and shared, and then we all decided to sleep in the same room so that it, you know, keep each other warm, and we had a bunch of blankets. And so we were praying, you know, as we were saying, our kids were saying their prayers before going to bed. You know, Lucas and Mila were like, hey, and God, please restore the power, turn the power back on. And we all said, amen. And boom,
the power goes on. Yeah. Lucas is like, man, I thought we were going to heaven. it was kind of cool, though. But
yeah, so, but there was, I feel bad for the people that went a lot longer, and it could have been way worse. But
yes.
But, you know, and then anything else on communication?
No, I mean, you were going back to maybe some key takeaways to kind of end this. And going back to the remote team members. So if you do run a business, I think remote team members is key. I mean, again, we wouldn't have been able to function really without them, you know? And so that may be something to consider. And then also having a strong Rolodex of vendors, you know, prepared, because once the storm did hit and, you know, now it's time to repair the damage. That was another thing, is not having enough vendor. I mean, we had vendors, but I know that there was others struggling out there to be able to find vendors to repair, you know, plumbers and sheetrockers, all that.
Yeah, and we had some luxury of bringing our plumbers from, you know, another state, because we own that other plumbing company. We had to bring them down and material, and, you know, we had some advantages there. But, yeah, have that strong Rolodex and use that Rolodex in advance. So,
yes,
you know, people, like, it's one thing to have a strong Rolodex, but then use those people so that, you know, they're loyal to you.
Right. You keep them busy, because when times like this happen, then you know that if you call them, they're going to be here and they're going to be working for you before they work for anybody else.
Because they know that after all of the storm leaves and everything, and all the insurance money goes away, you're still going to be there.
Right.
And so if you've used them over time, and so that's, we've had some really loyal people that, you know, yes, could they have made probably more money going and chasing all the insurance and all the other money? Yes,
probably.
But they know that, hey, that stuff dries up pretty quickly. Exactly. And when it's all gone, like, we're still the ones going to give them
this
the work.
This is steady income that they know that we're going to give them the work throughout the year.
But yeah, I think it's crucial. If you do own a business, something to really consider if you're not using them already is the remote team members. I mean, you know, we have a great team and a great group of remote team members. And so through all these events, they're the ones that, you know, and there's times where they go through, like, they have a hurricane, you know, or something, or some natural event in their market. But I mean, we help each other. But if you have people in different markets, different locations, you don't all experience the same thing. And they're used to working from home. They work from home. But they, you know, they're set up so it would help you and support you. So all that communication, all that, we still operated and kept going throughout all that, even though nobody was in the office, nobody could work from home, we still operated, you know, fairly well.
Yeah, we didn't miss a beat, really. So we were able to just pick up, you know, and move on and start repairing the damage. So,
and one thing I wanted to mention too, through all this, if you do own property, you know, be patient with some of your tenants, and if you own property management companies, because going through an event like this, it's a lot of extra stress and pressure, you know, on the management companies. And then the tenants, you got to put yourself in their shoes. You know, that's their home. They're going through a major event. You know, maybe their house flooded, maybe they have the ceilings are falling down. Be sympathetic to what they're going through.
Exactly. And I think, again, the communication piece is really key. You know, I think that every step of the way, from, you know, the plumbing repair to the sheetrock repair, you want to communicate with them every stage of the repair, because they just want to feel that they know that you're, you know, helping them in this situation.
Yeah, and you want to keep them. So if you can show them, you know, that you care, you know, and as they're going through an event like that, that you know, you're not just, you know, trying to chase the rent, and, you know, that's all you care, that you're there for them even when they're going through an event, they'll remember that. They'll want to stay there. They want to renew. And in the long term, that's what's going to pay off for your investment. So I think take care of your tenants during those times, because they're going through a lot. And, you know, and it's easy for you might be in California and it's sunny and it's all that. Mm-hmm. And they're over here freezing and their ceilings are falling down and they have no water. And, you know, they're going through a major event. And you gotta, right. You'd be sympathetic to that.
Absolutely.
So, anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much wraps it up. Thank you. This has been a great episode. I mean, if you would like additional information on how we prepared for it, or maybe some, you know, advice for remote team members, if you have that, please reach out to myself personally or to Sean.
And hopefully you never have to go through an event like we do
but
here.
Hey.
But be prepared if you do. So anyways, we'll share this. And please give us some reviews, and then again, reach out if you need anything or any storm procedure guides. We have all that. We'd be happy to share.
Absolutely.
So
thanks,
see you all
everyone.
Next week.
Have a great week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.